Chapter 7. Reparation for the sake of love. But there is another and a nobler motive, not that of interest, but love. Is it possible to see God so insulted without feeling impelled to make him some compensation? Can we look on and see Christ our Lord, our head, mocked at and treated as an outlaw without a feeling of indignation, of regret, or of deeper love for his cause? Is it true that, from the days of his agony in Gethsemane and his crucifixion, he is accustomed to have but few of his disciples with him, but even so, can we be of that number? Where is the faith? Where are the noble sentiments that should animate the souls of baptized Catholics? Will none come forward to mitigate his sufferings? Will none try to comfort the Church in her grief? Are there only priests and religious who can realize what suffering costs and how much misery afflicts men? Look around you and tell me whether the world is governed by the Spirit of God who created it, or by the Spirit of Satan, the world's idol and destroyer. We must make reparation for all those who, though baptized by water in the Holy Ghost, have nevertheless sinned against him, yet we remain all the time indolent and inactive. Cardinal Manning. The Holy Spirit is betrayed every hour of the day. Are there none willing to make reparation? We see the Church of Christ continually attacked, now openly and shamelessly, now secretly and cunningly. Are we always going to remain inactive? If we can remain so indifferent, it is because we do not love our mother, the Church. The term mother is an empty sound, a mere mockery. Shall we suffer our mother to be insulted with impunity? Formerly, if anyone had grieved our human mother, should we have not striven to make amends to her by increased tenderness? Monsignor Holst writes, "We need in the world devout souls who love God and are desirous of making reparation, and of doing it without stirring up the resentment or curiosity of their neighbors by their choice of means. Thanks be to God, there are some, more perhaps than we think." It is related that a poor peasant woman was nursing her dying son. Presently, the young man, half opening his eyes, exclaimed, "Mother, save me some water. I am dying of thirst." At this moment, the clock struck 3. The Christian mother took a crucifix and, placing it in her son's hand in a voice broken by tears, said to him,
"My dearest child, it is the hour when Jesus too was tormented by thirst and died for you upon the cross. Won't you endure a little thirst to be like him?"
"Yes, mother," replied the young man, and putting the crucifix to his lips, he kissed it tenderly. Unconsciously, these two, mother and son, were animated with the sentiments of Saint Francis of Assisi when he exclaimed, "What, thou my Savior, art nailed to the cross and I am not nailed to it?" Their generosity put these two among those good Christians of whom the saintly cure of Ars once said, "Worldly complains dolefully of having crosses. Good Christians grieve when they have none." True love ever begets imitation. This is the unequivocal mark of its genuineness. The cure of Ars also used to say, "A Christian lives amidst crosses like a fish in the water." It is indeed admirable what God can effect with such a wretched thing as the heart of a man. Let us admire it and, at the same time, try to understand it. Many know nothing of such heroic acts. Those who perform them, generally speaking, do not realize their own heroism. There are different degrees of generosity and greatness in these deeds, ranging from the most glorious to the most humble, which are not always the least meritorious. Those who have heard of these voluntary victims know that there are more than we can imagine. Doubtless, specially privileged souls retain their high place and are consequently not numerous, but God has chosen souls even in the world and among those who live an active life. It devolves upon us to cherish and guard those chosen grains of the purest wheat. If God has inspired us with the germ of generous desires, let us beware of the indifference that surrounds us. If we could be ready to suffer, we must love God. Is this so difficult? During the French Revolution, one of the judges of a revolutionary tribunal asked a saintly young girl, Marguerite de Pons, "What are your religious views?" To which she answered simply, "I love God with all of my heart." And who cannot make the same reply? Loving God with all our heart, that is equipment enough for starting on the work of reparation. That, too, is enough to keep us carrying it on successfully until the end. A solemn act of reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Sacred Heart of Jesus, animated with a desire to repair the outrages unceasingly offered to thee, we prostrate before your throne of mercy, and in the name of all mankind, pledge our love and fidelity to thee. The more your mysteries are blasphemed, the more firmly we shall believe them, O Sacred Heart of Jesus. The more impiety endeavors to extinguish our hopes of immortality, the more we shall trust in your heart, sole hope of mankind. The more hearts resist your divine attractions, the more we shall love thee, O infinitely amiable Heart of Jesus. The more unbelief attacks your divinity, the more humbly and profoundly we shall adore it, O divine Heart of Jesus. The more your holy laws are transgressed and ignored, the more we shall delight to observe them, O most holy Heart of Jesus. The more your sacraments are despised and abandoned, the more frequently we shall receive them with love and reverence, O most liberal Heart of Jesus. The more the imitation of your virtues is neglected and forgotten, the more we shall endeavor to practice them, O Heart, model of every virtue. The more the devil labors to destroy souls, the more we shall be inflamed with desire to save them, O Heart of Jesus, zealous lover of souls. The more sin and impurity destroy the image of God and man, the more we shall try by purity of life to be a living temple of the Holy Spirit, O Heart of Jesus. The more your holy church is despised, the more we shall endeavor to be her faithful children, O sweet Heart of Jesus. The more your vicar on earth is persecuted, the more we will honor him as the infallible head of your whole church. Show our fidelity and pray for him, O kingly Heart of Jesus. O Sacred Heart, through your powerful grace, may we become your apostles in the midst of a corrupted world, and be your crown in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This has been a production of Alleluia Audiobooks. To hear more Catholic audiobooks, homilies, or spiritual conferences, please visit us at AlleluiaAudiobooks.com or Google Alleluia Audiobooks. This CD is free to burn, make copies of, and distribute, but we ask that you do not alter the original audio. Thank you, and God bless.